Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I was asked this morning what the title of my sermon was, and I said, Living by Faith. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. We'll be looking at the fourth chapter, six to 18. If you're using your pew Bibles, you'll see that that is entirely on page 1798. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 18. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Let's open with a quick word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just ask you to be with us this morning. Father, I ask you to give me your words, that I can share them, the thoughts and the things that you have given to me this morning for this time. We'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So what is faith? I said living by faith. What is it? If we look at Hebrews 11:1, and as we know, we call that chapter the Hall of Faith, we see the writer stating it this way. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And even in the scripture I read, you see that Paul references that. I wasn't going to say this, but it worked out with my daily devotional today. Now, this sermon is something that I had prepared almost 23 years ago when I was filling in for my friend's church while he was away. And as I was preparing that one, the daily bread came to mind. And I took the story from that devotional because I thought It so perfectly fits. The writer of that devotional was looking at pretty much the same scripture that I just read. And ladies, you will understand this story. And this is by Joni Yoder, who at that time was one of the writers for the Daily Bread. Whenever I go to the beauty salon, I must be prepared, oddly enough, to look anything but beautiful, at least to start with. Sitting beneath an unflattering waterproof cape, I permit someone to work on my scraggly hair. As it gets drastically cut, soaked with smelly solution, wrapped around tiny curlers, and then encased in a piece of plastic until it takes. I steal a glance in the mirror. Horrified, I inevitably ask myself, why am I paying someone to do this to me? The satisfying answer is always the same. I hope to walk out of there looking fantastic. That's the way it is with our Christian walk. This world is God's workshop, where He skillfully changes our lives through trials of faith to make us more like Christ. At times, we are horrified at how we look and feel. Paul, urging us not to lose heart, because our trials, light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our trials are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. This hope of glory is what gives us assurance while God is still working on us. One day, when we exit this world and see Christ face to face, we will be like Him and reflect His beauty. Now, for you men, I was thinking about this. It's like building a home, or probably more like renovating one. And I know from many occasions talking with people, when you're renovating, it's going to look worse before it gets better, because you got to tear out the old. You got to get all the old stuff out of the way in order to bring in the new and to make, hopefully, that area looking better than what it was. And that's what God is doing with us. And that's how our Christian walk is. The master craftsman, the Lord God Almighty, when we accept Christ as our Savior, He's all of a sudden starting to work with raw material. Part of that process, or different types of it, is refining metals. If you know about that, you take the raw ore, wherever the metal is in, they put it in a fiery furnace, they melt off, they get rid of the dross, and what comes out is a purified metal, whichever it may be, gold, silver, even copper, any of those. It comes out pure when they get rid of the dross. Or it's like a sculptor, this big chunk of rock, piece of marble, just a chunk of rock. And yet the skillful hand of that sculptor works on this chunk of stone, and it turns into a beautiful sculpture. Or like a woodworker starts out with a block of wood. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking of my father-in-law. I remember seeing some pieces of wood that he had downstairs. And it was special wood because it was softer. And I remember looking at one, and it was going to be a duck, like a duck sitting on the water. And I looked at it, and I saw he had, you know, all on the side, lined out both sides. And then he would start cutting here, and he'd start cutting here, getting the big chunks out. And then he would take it, look at the top, and he'd start working how it would look when you look down on it. And when he was done, there's this beautiful carving of a duck. Another way, the illustration, how the Lord works with us. Stone polishing chamber. Better put your earplugs in. You take the pieces of stone, very rough, and they put it in the chamber, and they run it, and they run it, and they run it, and it's noisy. But when they're done, because of these stones banging the side of the chamber, banging each other around, they come out nicely polished, looking pretty. All the rough edges have been smoothed out, and it's this nice looking stone. It could be even a somewhat of a precious, semi-precious gem. The big one that I like, and we have a hymn on it, and I'll say it, and that's the potter. Seeing pictures of where the potter takes this glob of clay and just plops it on the wheel. And not much to look at, is it? And yet I love to watch videos. Sometimes it's nicer to watch them fast speed because you see it done quicker, but you watch them and they will mold that piece of clay. And all of a sudden the sides are starting to take shape. And then they come up and they reach down inside and they work inside because they're making either a pot or a vase, however we say it. But watching that take shape and forming up. And then when they're finally done with what they want to build, put it in the furnace and fire it so it hardens and it becomes a usable pot. We also see here that Paul says to us, do not lose heart, because what we're going through is preparing us for the eternal glory that we read about in verse 17. While we are here on earth, we are on the workbench. We're in the body shop. We're on the potter's wheel. We're in the polisher. But we are in God's workshop. In the hope of glory, when we meet Jesus, we will be like him and reflect his beauty. And looking back to the potter's wheel, we do have one of my favorite hymns. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. We go back to our scripture here. We see in verse 7 and 6, he tells us about that precious treasure that is now in us, the Spirit of Christ. But we're like a plain old clay pot. And so Paul asks us to focus not on the container, but on the priceless contents inside that container. We may be plain, we may be fancy, as far as a piece of pottery. You know, a lot, and that was a big thing back then. They stored a lot of thing in clay pots. And so that was a common item. Sometimes you have to look inside to see what's there, because the pot won't tell you by the way it looks. And so it is with us. We need to look inside us to show the world that priceless treasure that's inside us, and that's the Spirit of God working in our lives to help us to get to that point to where we are in heaven and we are perfected. So the trials and tribulations that Paul speaks about here, for he says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We may think we're at the end of the rope, but we're not at the end of hope. Despite suffering, God makes it clear that he will not abandon us. He spoke in the Old Testament. God the Father said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Christ reiterated that to his disciples. The same thing. He will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we go through. And this affords us the opportunity to have Christ's power shine through us. Paul shares with us through this about his sufferings to show us we need to focus on our ultimate goal and not the present pain. That made me think of way back in the dark ages when I ran track in high school. For most of my three seasons, I was a miler. And I was decent. I was a sub-5-minute miler. That's a lot of work. And you got 4 laps you got to get around. First one's not bad. The last one's you're trying to get it over with. It's the middle two. It's not only physically painful, it is mentally painful. Because your body is screaming at you, what are you doing to me? But it's a race. And there's a goal. And that is to finish that race. And if all possible, to win the race. But it's not easy going through that race. And so it is, Paul says, we need to focus on what the end point is. In spite of the pain we're going through, in spite of all the roughness of life, we have to look to the ultimate goal, and that is being with Christ. So he's saying to us, we must not lose heart, don't quit. He even shares some of his own trials. And he shares that he's concentrating on experiencing the inner strength from the Holy Spirit, and so should we. And that's why I'm referencing back when I spoke about this done 23 years ago. This morning I was reading the devotion and daily bread. And lo and behold, the writer references the beginning of 2 Corinthians, verses 8 through 11. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Now, this is after they had been at Corinth and they had moved on. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now in the devotional, although Paul wasn't specific here at what he was talking about, and it probably on purpose, and the writer said not to distract the readers. Well, most likely, Paul was talking about when they went to Ephesus, and he and his companions came up against a very angry mob to the point they thought they were going to get killed. But he shows them how God protected them and used the Corinthians through prayer to protect them. And this thing we need to look at here in verse 17 of the fourth chapter. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We should not let our troubles diminish our faith or disillusion us. The purpose for our suffering are these. To remind us of Christ's suffering for us, to keep us from pride, to look beyond this life, to prove our faith to others, to give God the opportunity to demonstrate his power through us. And we see that in verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so Paul is sharing his life here, that life is not easy. As I showed you when back in the beginning of this letter, he mentions a very difficult time that they were going through, even to the point of despairing for life because of the troubles that they ran into. But he gives them hope at the same time. He shows them that it's what's inside of us, the Spirit of God, that we need to look to give us the hope that through all of this life, no matter what we go through, we have hope that there is that day we are going to see Jesus. We're going to meet him face to face, and we're going to be like him because we are going to get our new bodies, and we are going to forever praise and honor God the Father and God the Son in heaven. It's kind of hard to think of eternity as just going on and on and on and on and on because we are finite beings. But that should give us the hope that no matter what we go through here on earth, as long as we're looking to God, we're looking at that precious treasure that's inside of us. When we accepted Christ, we now have his Spirit that we can rely on, that we can hang on to and continue no matter what's thrown at us. God will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will give us hope. He will help us to stand through it. And we have the Word of God with stories like this about what God has done through the apostles, through the writers. Even in the Old Testament, we can read stories of how God protected his precious ones. So let us continue to look for that hope. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just look to you, Lord, realizing that life is not going to be easy, and you were full on in telling us that, Lord. You didn't shirk that story to us. You told us flat out that life is not going to be easy. But the hope we have is your assurance that you will be standing beside us, that no matter what we go through, you are there. As that poem about the footprints, asking why there was only one, and the answer came back, it's because you were carrying us. So Lord, help us to realize whatever our trials are, our tribulations, you are there with us. You may not take them out of our lives, but you will walk through them with us in our lives. And that we have the hope and the faith that on the other side, it was worth it all to stand with you, to allow you to work in our lives, that we understand it is not us, but you. You're the one with the strength to keep us going. It is nothing we have done. It is all you. We thank you, Lord, for your care, your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness to us, and that you want us to lean on you as we travel through life. So, Father, we do thank you and praise you for this morning. We ask it in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand for the benediction. And then I'll do the benediction now, and then we'll have the communion. And now, Father, we look to you, thanking you for all that you have done. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.